The sermon that I'm going to preach this morning, I wrestled with it with the Lord. I really did. We look around, our society is divided. Is it not? And I'm not here to discuss politics. I don't care if you're an elephant or a donkey. Our country's in a mess. And the answer is not Washington, D.C. That is the biggest problem. The answer is God. All right? I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think. If that offends you, lump it. All righty? But in churches, we get divided. And a lot of times, it's really not even over spiritual stuff. Okay? COVID. Do I wear a mask? Don't I wear a mask? I'm not wearing one. I don't care what the sign says on the store. I'm not getting within 10 yards of anybody. Am I right? Am I wrong? Okay? We've all seen this. Okay? I'm not getting a shot. I don't care what happens. June and I got our second shot this past Tuesday. The reason that we got them is for international travel. Had we not been doing what we hope to get to doing again one day, we probably wouldn't have gotten them. People come to me and say, should we get them? I say, if you think you should, you should. If you think you shouldn't, you shouldn't. But don't be one of these nut jobs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, they're not injecting you with transmitters. Okay? If you have a smartphone, they already know where you are. Okay? Have you ever said something and Siri answered you? You understand? Okay? They're not changing your DNA. It's no wonder the world laughs at us. I laugh at us. Everywhere we go, East Coast, West Coast, North, South, there's some dear saint of God that comes. Do you want me to tell you what I've started telling people that come up with this stuff? They're changing your DNA. Do you want me to? Those of you that don't know me, that maybe you're new, you're going to ask somebody, is he really like this? The answer is yes. You know, they're cloning our DNA. I saw a documentary on that. And I go, yeah. And I go, yeah. There was an evil emperor that cloned an entire army. His name was Darth Vader. It's no wonder the world laughs at us. We deserve to be at times. You understand? If you haven't heard this, I mean, we get... There was a woman at one of the churches in Wyoming, not your home church, different, followed June the bathroom, wouldn't let her out. She said, oh, they're changing our DNA. They're making everybody the same. That's biologically impossible. You know what I'm saying? All right? So anyway, all of that is upload to our sermon. Okay? I've entitled this Preparing for Christian Character. Now, some people, you know, you hear Christian character, and you think, what does that mean? And, you know, we could get, you know, Webster's definitions and all that kind of stuff, but you're going to get Kimmel's definition, okay? This is just doing what's right when you should. Okay? That's Christian character, in my opinion. I ought to do what I should. Jesus says that we're to love everybody. And that's easy, isn't it? As long as it's people you like. The Bible says to speak evil of no man. And there's no addendum in there in the Greek that says except for politicians you don't like. Amen? You say, do you like what's going on in our society? Really? Oh, I love it. I'm just so thankful that we support abortion, that we're limiting religious liberty. Oh, that's great. You all know me better than that. But the same God that tells us He loves us tells us to speak evil of no man. Can you see Jesus saying about Nancy Pelosi, about what the average fundamental independent Baptist says? It's pretty quiet, so I assume the answer is no. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? As we look at this, and I'm not even to the real introduction yet. All right? What time is it anyway? All right. This thing says 6:01. Man, I've got 6 hours. All right. All right. It does. I'm not kidding. All right. 1 Corinthians 3. I normally ask you to stand while we read the Word of God, but I don't know how far we're going to read, and that depends if my eye starts twitching. All righty? So, you get the day off today. We're going to begin in verse 1. If everything goes well, we're going to go down to verse 11. All righty? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that wavereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Made it all the way through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for its instruction. God, help us to believe it. Help us to practice it, and help us to live by it as we should. We pray, God, for you to work in our hearts here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Church at Corinth had many issues that had to be dealt with. We know from history that Paul wrote at least 4 books to the Corinthian church. Only 2 did God preserve in his word. Why? I don't know, but God in his infinite wisdom kept 2 of them. Paul had to spend a lot of time with his church. And he starts off here in this chapter dealing with carnality. In chapter 1, he deals with divisions there. To be carnal, it means to be guided by human nature. Even though we are saved, even though we are children of God, we are also sinners by nature. Amen? When we got saved, that wasn't eradicated. Anyone that's had children and says that people are born with a spark of divinity within them, I really wonder about their mental capacity. You understand? You say, preacher, you just said not to speak evil. I said, I wondered about them. All right. Don't be a Pharisee. All right. Now, we might say in the Christian community that talking about carnality, we might say that someone's in the flesh. Did you ever get in the flesh? Did you ever get irritated? I think, what's one of the current sayings? Ticked off? You ever get ticked off? I don't know about you, but when I get ticked off, the words can come. No, let me reword that. The words do come. All right. We're in church. I'll just tell the truth. All right. You know, anybody here like that besides me? Several of the rest of you say yes, and several of the rest of you are lying. All right. We get in the flesh. And we shouldn't. And we know that. And Christian character, properly applied, keeps us from doing that. You say, do you have that down? I wish I could stand up here and say I do. But there are circumstances that come that I'm getting better at. All righty. What are they? Mind your own business. All right. Worry about yours, I'll worry about mine. Now, the goal from Paul's perspective with the church here at Corinth was to become a growing, healthy, vibrant church. A church that testified to the goodness of our God, both to the members and to the community. The church had people that were working for their own personal agenda and their personal methods with no regard for the overall direction of the church. Now, June and I have been in more churches than the average church member. You understand what I'm saying? As we travel, and we see this going on. We can come into a church, and we're not perfect, and we can't do this perfectly, but if we've been in a church several times, we know the ones that have their own agenda. You say, how do you know that? Because people have a badge on that says, I have my own agenda. All right, it's just invisible to some people. You can see people working their cliques. Now, I would not be saying this if I saw this a lot here, okay? But if the Holy Spirit's ringing your doorbell, answer it, all righty? Okay? And there's nothing wrong with having an opinion. There's a problem with having an opinion that makes you take it to a point of division. True story, happened in a state, in a city in a different state, a little over 1,000 miles from where we're standing and sitting. This man and his wife and children helped start a church. They had been there for years. Their children were just little squirts, and they grew up, and they left the church. You know why they left the church? Is because when their youngest child was a girl, and when she got to be old enough, she did not make the cheerleading team in the school. How would you like to stand before God and say, I left the church because little Fritz didn't get chosen for the whatever? That's a godly reason if ever I heard of one. Amen? But the thing that's sad is I could top that with ungodly stories of people leaving churches. Your opinion's okay, but if it's out of what's going on, keep it to yourself. And maybe you ought to let it go. Do you know the thing about opinions? Is it's what you think. Is your thinking perfect? My closest friend who's a pastor, he and I tell our children that between the two of us, we know everything. That's the same response our kids have. All right. Obviously, we're kidding. But all of us have met people that they act like they really believe that about themselves. Okay? That's what was going on at the Corinthian church. Now, we're not going to have time. Well, if I go by this clock, I will. This clock hasn't even changed yet. It's still at 6:01. And I started there 10 minutes ago. Man, I like this clock. All right. Okay. In this chapter, we're likened to several things. Verse 9, we're told that we're God's husbandry and building. Verse 16, we're likened to the temple. Verse 23, we're seen as Christ's possession. Obviously, we don't have time to go through all of that. We're going to look at several things here. Number one, characteristics of carnality. And I'm looking at you guys without being over here. All right? That's when I start squinting, don't worry. I just, you know what I'm saying. All right. Characteristics of carnality. Number one, in verse one, there's diluted growth. Paul says, basically, he says, I can't speak to you as someone that's spiritually mature. But you're a baby spiritually. Okay, now I know that's not how it's written out there, but that's the meaning. Do you get that? Okay. All of us understand that babies need a little extra help. At salvation, we are pictured as a babe in Christ. Are we not? Are we not? All right. Remember, if I don't hear enough amens, I start over. All right. Okay. So you get it. All right. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Okay? A baby must be provided for. A baby must be watched over. We have a grandson. We have 8 grandchildren. 7 are born. The 8th one is still in the hatch. Life begins at conception. Amen? Amen. We have 8. Our 5th grandson will be born the end of June if everything goes regular. Pray for June 24th. That's my birthday. All right? Anyway. The baby that's born, when he was 2.5, you know, when you hear a baby crying, and they cry in a certain way, you know something's wrong. But just as bad when a little nipper, when you can't hear them, there's issues. You understand? One day my daughter couldn't hear little Adam. And Adam is a case. I mean, this guy, last year he squirted my daughter outside with the garden hose. She said, Mom, she said, Adam, why did you do that? Mom, you irritated me. I won't go into detail, but let's just say it didn't go well for Adam at that point. All right? He hasn't tried that again. But anyway, he was about 2.5. They couldn't hear him. And Jenny was going through the house trying to find him. And she finally located him in the pantry. And you know those goldfish things? The ultra big size? Well, they had one of those. Because they have, you know, he has a brother a couple years older and so forth. And it was turned over and looked. And he had handfuls just cramming them in his mouth. Said that he just looked like a chipmunk. Yes. Cramming them in just as quick as he could. I mean, you got to watch over a baby. They'll do things like that. I'm sure that my grandson is not the only one that pulled something like that. You know what I'm saying? That's one of those things. Babies take a lot of time. You know the good thing about being a grandparent? Is you can play with them. You can wind them up. And then you can give them back to their parents. It's a blessing. I told my children I have every intent on getting even with them through their children. Babies just take time. As growth comes, it's normal. Right? Right? It's expected. Okay? Now, we're pictured as a babe, but there's purposeful growth. And there's principles that are followed for spiritual growth, for physical growth. One of the things they need is regular food. Adam's little brother that's older than him is our Chinese grandson. When Jenny and Peter got him, when they adopted him, he was 15 months old. He only had to share his crib. He was one of the lucky ones in the Chinese orphanage in central rural China. He only had to share his crib with one other kid. And he only spent 12 to 14 hours a day in the crib. He could not sit up on his own, let alone stand. He never had anything but a bottle to drink. We did not know this at the time, but Chinese formula is substandard to ours. They have no guidelines, no FDA, if you will, saying it's got to have so much of this and that and the other thing in there. We say, well, we just take that for granted. And a lot of times, it's just filler. So the food that he was getting was substandard. In Hong Kong, they had laws. And the formula there had to be a certain kind. And when our son, who lived in Hong Kong, went into China to meet Jenny and Peter and stuff, he took formula, good formula, into them. And there's a law in Hong Kong that you can only buy so much. Because people in China were coming in and wiping stores out, taking it back, many for their own kids and some on a black market. But as a result of this, our grandson was stilted or slowed in some progress. Okay? He had nothing in the roof of his mouth. He was found abandoned on the side of the road. You know, not a cleft palate. I'm talking nothing in the roof of his mouth. 4 surgeries before he could talk plainly. And ever since then, he won't shut up. Making up for lost time. And he couldn't do things. They were spending so much time on his mouth and nose and so forth that there were things he couldn't do. For example, he couldn't roll down a hill. What kid can't roll down a hill? He could roll over one time and then he balls up. They said that his brain wasn't, his right brain wasn't working with his left brain and all this kind of stuff. He couldn't do patty cake work. He could do this, but he couldn't do this. He couldn't make the infinity number or sign or whatever it is. He couldn't do those things. You know why? He hadn't had proper exercise. He hadn't had proper food. He hadn't had proper rest. You know, sometimes Christians can't function because they don't have those things. Proper exercise. Proper food, proper rest. I don't want you to raise your hand. How many of you have a regular Bible reading program? Don't raise your hand. Just answer this up here. In Timothy, it says to study the Word. The word study there means a lot of activity, a lot of intensity, a lot of action. Okay? It's the same word that's translated other places in the New Testament, diligently. Okay? Study diligently. It's the same thing we tell our kids to do. Study. And almost every kid that's ever been around, they've whined about some subject. I don't understand this. And as a parent, we just put our hands, oh, it is so bad, you don't have to worry about that, right? Is that what we do? We say, hey, life's tough all over. Get back in there, make your brain sweat, and don't come out till you learn how to do it. Or something along that line. Okay? Amen? Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right? Okay? Spiritually speaking, we don't put that kind of effort in, do we? Do kids have to memorize things? Do they? Years ago, we were on a family vacation. Our son was like 6, and he's 34 right now. Okay? So we're talking a long time ago. My parents were with us. We were in New England. We were out by the Concord Bridge, you know, by the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag the April breeze unfurled. Here once in battle, farmer stood, fired the shot heard around the world. You know, aren't you impressed? We were coming down from a hill where they had a little museum, and using the word museum is stretching it, but that's what they called it. And there was a big chestnut tree. My father broke out into the village blacksmith and quoted it word perfect. Now, my father at that time was almost my age now. He learned that thing in school. He had memorized that. Let me ask you a question. How are you doing memorizing the Bible? I mean, how are you doing on it? Do you know, the Chinese, they don't even all have Bibles. And especially they're cracking down on them. And what they do is they have parts of them and they'll give them. This week you get this part, this week you get part, this. And you know what they do? They memorize it. When they go to jail, they can't take Bibles with them in China. That's a shock, I know. But you know what they say? They can't take what's in my heart. And the average Chinese believer has memorized huge portions of Scripture. Once again, don't raise your hand. Just answer this between your right and left temple. How many chapters of the Bible do you know? I mean chapters. I'm not talking about Jesus wept, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. And those are good verses. I'm not knocking those. But I'm talking chapters. Well, I know Psalm 23. You're so good. I mean, do you know the Word of God? How do you expect to grow? How do you expect to quit getting irritated? How do you expect to quit talking evil about bad politicians? As long as the United States exists, there's going to be bad politicians. Has been for a couple centuries. I don't mean all of them. But am I right or am I wrong? Right? Hey, nowhere in the Bible does it say, thou shalt spend time on social media. I'm not saying that it's sin to have an account in some of this stuff. We have a Facebook account for our ministry. I even look at it once every 6 months or so. But I wonder how many people here this morning were on their social accounts while they looked at maybe Psalm 23 instead of spending time with God. Amen? You say, well, preacher, you know, I'm in the middle of something. Yeah. Do you know, in China, they don't make excuses. They just do the job. And that's why the gospel is thriving in China, and it's not in the United States. Amen? Okay. You're going to hope this clock starts working pretty soon. Regular rest, regular food. And when we talk about rest, it just doesn't mean, falling asleep early. We got our second COVID shot. I told you that on Tuesday. On Wednesday morning, I got up, did all the regular morning, shower, shave, eat breakfast. Felt like I'd been chopping firewood for 20 hours. I had trouble reading. I couldn't concentrate. By 10:30, we had the TV on. We'll go sit down. You know, Thursday was 50% better. Friday was better. And today's normal. All right? Hey, we're talking about rest in the Lord. Being satisfied in God. Regular food, regular rest, regular exercise. You say, preacher, all of your examples are of China. I could say the same thing about India, except India is not completely persecuted, primarily just in the Northeast. Not exclusively, but primarily in the Northeast. They witness in those countries. Over here, you just get laughed at for witnessing. You know, oh, you're one of those. Yeah, I am. You're weird. Hey, I know. Come on in. The water's fine. Okay? Do you know what happens to a person for witnessing in China? It's prison time when they get you. Prison time. Your neighbors can turn you in for doing it. And yet they witness at work, they witness it. And they can lose their job for witnessing, and yet they do. And the gospel's thriving in China. But it's not in the United States. Regular rest, regular food, regular exercise. And then diluted food. Look at verse 2. We got a long way to go yet, don't we? I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Okay? Not able to eat solid food. What would you be like if the only thing you could take in was broth? Formula. Not sink your teeth into meat. I am a carnivore. If you're a vegetarian, God bless you. That's more for me. Amen. When we were out west, had elk steak, elk burger. I had venison steak, venison burger. We'd had venison before. We'd never had elk. Oh, man. In the morning, June can make a tortilla, and you wouldn't know that a Mexican person didn't make it. I mean, she's learned how. And I had two this morning. And you get an egg in there and some greens and some onion peppers and some cheese and then some finely cut venison steak. It's going to be in heaven, I'm telling you. It is good. And if you didn't have old man stomach, there would be a salsa in there with it. All right? The good stuff. Okay? What would we be like if we didn't eat properly? We'd be like, well, somebody, you're not able to bear it. Do you know why some people can't function in Christianity? It's because they don't feed themselves. They've always got to, especially COVID. COVID. I don't want to get sick. Did you go to work? Well, I got to make money. Did you go to work? The Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Amen? Amen. If you read Hebrews 10, you'll find that. All righty? Now, I'm not saying there's not reasons to avoid it. Some people have conditions and so forth and all, and some people just have carnality as their main condition. Well, what if I get sick? Well, you get sick. What if I die? I've read that heaven's really not that bad. Amen? All right? I mean, there's worse places to be from what I've read, all right? Okay? We don't eat like we should. We don't exercise like we should. We're not going to be able to function as a mature adult. We will need help. We can't give help. Can a baby give help? They need help. Same thing's true spiritually speaking. And these people, one of the things that shows up in their life is divided loyalty, verses 3 through 6. We're not going to go back through and read those, primarily because of my eyes, all right? They operate on personality, not on principle. Now, all of us like people that have personalities like we like, all right? We like people that like things like we like. That's understandable, right? Amen? How many people had a personality when they're born that's godly, that Jesus would like? Huh? Did he love them regardless? Did he? Did he? All right, some of you thought I was speaking Greek or something. I don't know. Are we supposed to love them? Do you know something that June and I have prayed and asked the Lord to help us do? That wherever we go, we can just go in and love the people. You know what I mean? We've seen speakers and stuff go into places and they're prima donnas. They don't ever want to talk to the people. They don't ever want to get to know the people and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying we're perfect, and I know we're not. But you all know that's not us. We want to be of the people. Are some people easier to love than others? Hey, not everybody's as sweet as me. I know that. Amen. All right. Don't you hope you get a pastor that's as sarcastic as I am? That's the reason some of you think you want me. It's because you don't really know me. All right. These guys, they operate on personalities instead of principles. By the way, this is free. That's why we have the president that we have. All right? And that's enough on that. They operate on feelings, not on a foundation. Do you know, this week my feelings weren't real good. I told you, man, Wednesday we were both dragging. In fact, we had heard that this is one of the big side effects and could happen. So June made some food on Tuesday where there's leftovers from Wednesday, you know what I'm saying, and stuff. We had things that were hard to do, like instant oatmeal and toast and that kind of stuff, you know, and those things. And it wore us out getting that around. But feelings, all of us know that's not how we're supposed to operate. But so often we do. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like... You think Jesus felt like going to the cross? If I read my Bible properly, didn't he say, "Not my will, but thine be done," after he sweat drops of blood? Is that not what the Bible said? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Am I right or am I wrong? Okay? Do what we should. They operate on happiness, not holiness. And you know, in our kind of churches in America, there's a standard for holiness, and it's man-made many times. And it's made around our standards. And I'm for standards. But standards are not necessarily a sign of holiness. You've heard me say that I was an assistant. I had to work a secular job. I was in the mortgage business. You know what I had to wear to work in the mortgage business? Slacks, shirt, tie. If we were meeting customers, they wanted sport coats. And I assure you that most of those guys that looked like that were not godly. But they would pass a Christian school dress code. Holy, I'm not knocking dress code. I'm not knocking standards. I'm knocking having a bad heart with an outward conformity to standards. All right? Holiness doesn't start with the outside. Holiness starts on the inside and comes out. Amen? Otherwise, the old IBM salespeople would be the holiest people around. You remember? Hey, now, there's a meme that's going around. You're really old, not old, you're really old if you've ever taken a pencil and wound a cassette tape up. Been there, done that a gazillion times, all right? But back in the day, an IBM salesman, man or woman, when I say pants, think skirt for the lady, she couldn't wear pants at that time. They had options. Their options were black, gray, navy blue, white shirt, and for the men, a conservative business tie. Most of my ties would have trouble. And that was their dress code. Does that mean they were holy? Huh? And by the way, I'm not in favor of changing stuff either. People say it's culture. I want somebody to seriously talk to me about different cultures. You know what I'm saying? We've been in several, all right? Characteristics of carnality. Characteristics of co-laborers, verses 7 down through 9. Man, it is later than I thought. All right. For a church to do well, they've got to have the same goals as the Lord. And it's got to be together. And there's going to be people that don't get their way. How do you respond when you don't get your way? You think God died and left you in charge? I mean, do you? Well, this is the way they did it in. Great. What does the Bible say? Amen? Amen? This is what Dr. So-and-so says. You know, I'm so sick in society here. Experts say. You know what I mean? I'm the one, when our representative and state rep and state senator, I used to go to all the meetings and stuff, and then somebody would say, "Experts say," and I'd say, "Who are these experts?" "Well, they're experts." "Well, what makes them an expert?" You understand what I'm saying? Just because Dr. So-and-so did it a certain way doesn't mean it's biblical. Amen? All righty. What does God say? Now, I'm not saying we just throw out Dr. So-and-so's ideas. But we don't use Dr. So-and-so as the standard. We use God as the standard. Amen? And there's some preachers and I talking about this. You all here for Easter, Brother King? Brother King and I know each other, if you couldn't tell if you were here when he was doing stuff. And in fact, I saw him yesterday at a meeting. And we're talking, some of these guys, it's just like, well, I got my standards are better than your standards. Where do you find that nonsense in the Bible? All righty? When all you've got is standards, you've got a problem. All righty? Now, you ought to have standards, but that ought to be the outgrowth. That shouldn't be the main thing. Okay? Are we truly submitted to the Lord? Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, what is our unity based on? It's based on the Word of God. Okay? It's not based on something else. That's where a church gets its marching orders, if you will. That's where it gets its right to exist, is the Word of God and the doctrine of the Word of God. Amen? You can go around the world, and if a church believes the Bible, they think the same way we think. And they're trying to do the same thing we think. Whether it's in Mexico or India or China, whether it's in the United Arab Emirates, they're doing the same thing. Because it's the Bible. And God's Word's the same. Amen? All right? Philippians 4, verse 2. I beseech you, Euodias, and I beseech Synecdoche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. The same mind. The Philippian church apparently had a little bit of trouble with conflict. Because if you read the Bible, we don't have time. If you read that whole book, it's only four chapters. They go through there, and there's a lot of issues where Paul, under the inspiration of God, is saying, be of the same mind. Think like this. And all that kind of stuff. Amen? Yeah. Okay? Now, we need to have the same goals as the Lord. We need to have a unity of purpose. God has one mission. It's the Great Commission. That's all nations. With all believers doing the work. I heard a statistic yesterday from a preacher. He said, the guys that do these statistics in the United States, there's only 6% of Christians witness. That means 94% don't. Six. We need to improve on that. Amen? Amen? And we don't need to tell everybody we're doing it. We just need to do it. Do you understand? We need to be ready to go. Wherever we are, be ready to witness. We need a unity of passion. What excites you? What excites you? Now, there's different things from different parts, but I mean spiritually, when you come to church, what excites you? What are you the most concerned about? What motivates you? What motivates you? What offends you? What offends you? What would cause you to stop? You know, by the way, the Bible says in Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That means nothing will stop me from doing what I should. Now, when I say what offends you, are there offensive things that go on? Absolutely. Absolutely. When I was in college, one of the jobs I had, I was considered a skilled laborer. Aren't you impressed? I changed tires and batteries at Sears, okay? I'm not doing a commercial for them. That's just what I did. I was a skilled laborer. Made 25 cents an hour above minimum wage. I made $2.65 an hour. I was rich. We were going to school. We first got married. I changed tires and batteries there at Sears. It got to where when I hear guys cuss, I'd start singing. And I sing terribly. I'm scared to sing down there. I don't want to get Adam off, all right? Because he's great. And down there, I move my mouth. A little's coming out, but I don't want him to hear it, all right? He might quit teaching music if he ever hears me sing. I'd sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It got to the point, the guy with the foulest mouth, he'd cuss, I'd start singing. Leonard, just shut up. He's singing again. Won't you cut it short? He didn't mean it. I said, no, if I cut it short, he won't take it seriously. I mean, what offends you? What motivates you? What excites you? You know, we have different things in life that excite us. You know, and it depends where you are, different things, you know. We had to cancel the trip because of my eye. We were going to be in North Carolina, South Carolina. But the main thing, we're going to get to see four grandchildren. I was pumped. Because of this COVID and everything, we didn't get to see them much last year. We had tickets to be at their house at Christmas. Those tickets are still waiting to be used, you know, that kind of thing. All of that. I was excited. And I got deflated. But I'm talking spiritually. What excites you? You love to see people get saved. You love to see people get right with God. You love to see God answer prayer. If you do, when's the last time you saw God answer one of your prayers? I mean, what excites you? What motivates you? Does the love of God have anything to do with what motivates you? You know? I do things because I'm motivated by love for my wife. Get her things, to do stuff. You know what I'm saying? It motivates me. And things that, and people that we love motivate us. What do we like? What motivates us? What drives us? Characteristics of consent. The second half of verse 9 down through 11. We're pictured there as God's husbandry. The word means tillable, like tilling a field. Are we tillable? Are we tillable? Should we be tillable? Should we? That was a question. Should we be tillable? Are we perfect? Do we have a ways to go to become Christ-like? Do we? Then we need to be tillable. We need to be changeable. The problem with changing is that we've got to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. We are being fashioned by someone. Are we willing to be fashioned by the Lord? Are we more concerned about keeping up with trends at work? You know, we get on teenagers and our kids when they're just wanting to follow the world. And we should. But it's easier for the kids when mom and dad aren't doing it also. You understand? It's a different, you know, the parents aren't doing the same thing, but the philosophy's the same. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? If you look back, let me give you a music lesson. If you go back to the big band era, and don't say you don't know what I'm talking about, all right? You're in church, so don't lie, okay? I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My dad grew up on the big band era. I grew up listening to all that stuff. I hated it. His parents hated that music. Amen? Okay, you with me? They did. And then there kind of came in the jazz and the pre-rock stuff. Okay? You with me? And the people from my dad's era hated that stuff. You understand what I'm saying? And then there came in the rock stuff, and that's what I grew up on. And all the people below me, they hated that stuff. And now, sadly, it's in a lot of churches. It's not in this church, and that's a blessing. Okay? You see, it's not, you know, it's not us, we're saying I'm not like that. Because we have the very same philosophy. Did you understand what I was trying to say there? Okay? We need to be fashioning ourselves after God, not after the philosophy of the world. Whether it's an old person's philosophy of the world or a young person's philosophy of the world, it's still the world. You know what I mean? Okay? In Matthew 13, and don't turn there, there's seven parables. The kingdom parables, we call them. The first parable is the parable of the sower. And there is good news. I'm getting close to the last page of notes. Amen? And you know what that means when a Baptist preacher says that? It means nothing. All right? Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. We're familiar with that. The sower spreads seed everywhere. There's four kinds of seed. You remember that? The first one is hard, packed seed. The seeds are not received. Birds come and eat them and they're taken away. Okay? The next one, the seeds fall down in the earth, but it's shallow. And they spring right up. And when tribulation or persecution comes, it turns those people away. Hey, are you shallow? Well, I don't like it when people make fun of me. Does the Bible say they that live godly in Christ Jesus might suffer persecution? What does it say? They will suffer persecution. So, hey, don't worry about it. It will come if you're doing right at some point in time. Either that or God's word is wrong. Amen? Okay. The third kind of soil is thorn infested, weeds and all that stuff. And yet God explains to us worldliness overtakes those people. Worldliness overtakes them. Now, those are the people that are more interested in just keeping up with the Joneses. Those are the people that are just interested in making money. And I'm not opposed to making money. If God wants you to be rich, God bless you. I know a missionary couple you could support. I used to tell the people at Faith when I was a pastor, I hope all of you are millionaires. I'm for that. And that you tithe and that you give another tenth for missions. Just think of what we can do. But there's a difference in having money and that being the goal of your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. It's just the allurement of stuff. Having to have stuff. Before I was working at a job where they took tax out of my check, I was a caddy at a country club in St. Louis. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, in the suburbs there. And at that time, this is not true now, but at that time there were two main country clubs. There was the Gentile country club and there was the Jewish country club. Now, they weren't named that, but that's what they were. I caddied at the Jewish country club. I caddied for people like, you've heard of Schwab Pharmaceuticals. I've caddied for the Schwab family. I've caddied, I could name some other people. But, you know, caddying for some of these people. And ladies, I love you. Do you love me? Ladies, don't be mean. But there were certain groups of women to caddy for. It was terrible. Oh, we're going to Greece this weekend to pick out our new china. Oh, we just got back from hoity-toity wherever. And we were there, you know what I'm saying? Hearing all that kind of garbage. Now, most of us don't fly to Greece to pick up our new china and that kind of stuff. I always wondered why they didn't go to China to get their new china. You know what I'm saying? But Christians in our kind of churches, we don't necessarily talk like that, but we have the same things. We're going to keep up with the Joneses. Our kids are going to look a certain way. They're going to act a certain way. We're going to look a certain way. Amen? You know, and sometimes that creeps in, and it shouldn't. But then there's the good soil. It produces fruit. Do you know that only 25% of the soil produced like it should? 25%. That's sad, isn't it? And out of that 25%, some of it was only 60%. Isn't that what it said? Okay? The product. We need to be tillable soil that God can work in and mold and produce. Christian character. Are we getting ready for that to work in our life? You say, preacher, I've been saved a long time. It's always at work in your life. Amen? It's something you've got to be on guard for all the time. When you think you've got it, that's when you're in trouble. That's when things will happen to make you see that maybe you don't have it. But we need to be preparing. We need to be putting things in place to allow God to work in our life and make us Christ-like.